All right. I've been playing with a recorder here in the studio, and it just started working. Sorry for the interruption. So the city council approved the cut. Alex Jarrett says, our police are a crucial piece of public safety. They take personal risks to protect others, and I have great respect for that. I do not see the decision to reduce funding as being anti-police, but rather an adjustment of budget priorities and a push to change the way we do public safety. This was not an easy decision. I considered many different viewpoints, did extensive research, and did what I thought was right. Here's why I supported this cut. We're in a period of an economic contraction, many unknown additional costs due to COVID-19, and a likely decrease in state funding. The costs for personal protective equipment at the schools, should they reopen in person, are estimated to be $1.6 million, plus additional extensive retrofitting to the buildings. I have looked at the size of our force in relation to many other cities with college students and tourism, and at the distribution and types of calls for our service. Our force size is larger than average for our population, and we will have a decreased student population and tourism due to COVID-19. I believe the funding we still have will allow all the core safety functions of policing to remain in place. He also says that now that the budget was cut 10%, approximately $850,000 is now available to fund other needs in our city, including education, social services, and infrastructure. Meeting human needs helps reduce the need for policing. We are in a period of time where many people are rethinking how we do public safety. Alternatives to policing for responses to mental health issues, addiction, domestic violence, and working with the unhoused have been found to lead to better outcomes, often at reduced cost. Although the council can't reallocate funds, the mayor can, and freeing up funds makes room for that. I encourage you to ask the mayor to put funding for this fiscal year into these programs. Alex says, I've heard from hundreds of city residents, many from my ward, who have concerns about policing in Northampton and want us to find alternatives. We now have more resources available to study these alternatives. Some people have asked, why didn't you just wait to make a cut until we knew exactly what would replace police services? I made a judgment, and I think other counselors did too, that institutional change just wasn't going to happen unless we pushed the issue. This was the moment to start that push. Special thanks to the many people who helped me research this issue. For next steps and thoughts on reform, read on. I will read on. Again, if you just tuned in, I'm reading from Alex Jarrett's newsletter. Alex Jarrett is Ward 5 City Councilor here in Florence, Massachusetts. Alex says, I've been horrified by the murder of George Floyd and by violent actions of police toward black and brown people around the country. The protests we've seen across the nation and here in Northampton demonstrate the built-up anger and frustration at the continued oppression, on top of centuries of systemic racism that deny people of color economic security, safety, and respect. I've been listening to people of color, mostly black people, who describe what it's like to be policed in Northampton. Followed with an officer's hand on their gun, stopped for picking a blackberry from the side of the road, called, hey boy, and questioned, followed through town in their car to their destination, an experience most white people I know don't have. Many white people I talk to in town think that our police department is doing just fine on these issues, and it's clear to me that we're not. To address these issues, the ones described in the previous section and others, the council is considering the proposed Mayoral City Council Policing Review Commission. I'm hopeful about this commission and appreciate that it's a collaboration between the executive and legislative branches. At our Tuesday, June 21st meeting, council members and the public suggested many additions, including domestic violence work, meeting human needs to reduce the need for policing, studying police liability insurance and ending qualified immunity, and stipends for members of the commission to make it more accessible. It's still in draft form, so please comment on it to me and to the city council president and to the mayor. At the council's next meeting on July 9th, that's day after tomorrow, Thursday, we will be voting on a resolution to participate in this commission. Historically, commissions like these don't have a great track record at producing change, so continued public pressure will be needed to guide it in the right direction and to ensure we actually take action on any recommendations. The City Council should still independently move forward. Councillor Maiori and I will be asking one or more of our standing committees to explore the legislative options we have. And once we have a clear idea of the makeup of the commission, we may propose a City Council Select Committee to fill in the gaps. And, all right, next on Alex's newsletter, he talks about the open meeting law. The open meeting law in Massachusetts requires that most meetings of public bodies be held in public, and it establishes rules that public bodies must follow in the creation and maintenance of records relating to these meetings. On June 25th, the council responded to two complaints that alleged the council had violated the open meeting law in its June 18th meeting. In order to violate it, a quorum of councillors, which is 5 of the 9 councillors, would have had to communicate about an issue outside of a public meeting. The complaints alleged that councillors had contacted each other during a recess of a council meeting. 7 councillors made statements that they did not, which refuted the claims. Once 30 days have passed since the complaint was filed, the filers may appeal to the Attorney General's office if they are dissatisfied with our response. So this is from Alex's newsletter. He's being very diplomatic here as city councilor, but as an outside commentator, I can say so that the complaints were filed by the police union alleging that there was an open meeting law violation during the meeting when the city council decided to reduce the police budget. Alex, so polite. Also, he says that he also has a conflict of interest issue. He says, the conflict of interest that I have as a worker owner of Pedal People caused unforeseen complications this past month. Before I even decided to run for office last year, I talked with the State Ethics Commission to determine the implications of the pre-existing contract that Pedal People has with the Central Services Department to empty public trash and recycling from bins in Northampton and Florence. At that time, it was understood that I would have to recuse myself from voting on the issue. But I learned this past month that it isn't possible to separate out this line item about the Pedal People contract from the rest of the general fund budget in the final vote. As a workaround, we managed to separate it so that I could deliberate and make amendments and vote on the adoption of everything but this item, but the police budget item. In the final vote for the general fund budget, I was unable to participate in the big picture. So, in order to better represent my constituents, I'm committed to resolving the issue of voting on the general fund by the time of next fiscal year's vote in June 2021. All right, I'm going to take a break from reading. I may come back to a couple more interesting things that's going on, like disqualifying contractors who make, design, or maintain nuclear weapons. Yeah, that was started during the previous term, the council and mayor initiating this process of bringing Northampton into compliance with the United Nations Nuclear Ban Treaty. But I think I'm going to play clips from Saturday night's rally in downtown Northampton. And first I'll start with this piece called Black in America, who I didn't catch the author's name. I'm so sorry. He was really awesome. I want to say his name was something like Stardust or Skyhawk or something like that.
Yeah. For being black in America, every single day is a struggle. It's either racism, poverty, or the hustle. And wherever I go, feel like 1,000 eyes watching me. Walk in the store, the owner feel like it's a robbery. Society labeled me a drug dealing gangster, a fool, but it's their kids who shoot up schools. But look where we came from, the slums is our resident. Battle from the gutter to a first black president. And maybe some things will change and one day we'll be united and stop being called out a name. But every black man who ever had knowledge to spread ended up like Martin with a shell in his head. But it feels like the weight's on me to succeed. So every interview's getting cut. No one's hiring me. So I'm bagging up this work. Gotta work in the street. We all gotta survive. We all gotta eat. I've been through too many tears thinking that my luck would change up. But the po-po dreaming about locking me up is just jealousy. They see all the money we get, the clothes we got. They see all the hoes we got. And the thought that we sat around and got it by chilling, they gotta knock the way that we live in. But they never was in a position when it was held at gunpoint. These politics is all f***ed up. There's no end to this. The po-po's in the area. So, they wear guns because they scared of us. And they try to put fear in us. Why? Because we black in America. F*** that. F*** for being black in America is more than what the book teaches. All girls don't grow to be sluts. Some grow up to be surgeons and DAs for us. Some become dentists, others f*** up, but that's life. Nobody sees the mother who struggles to feed 6 kids, 2 jobs, no man supporting the needs. The black community's an open wound, they watching us bleed, hoping Obama, hopefully he'll catch up and lead. It's cheaper for a gram of crack than a shot of vaccine. No insurance because we haven't worked enough. Politics is jerking us. Popo's locking in drug dealers, but they left the priest alone. Can somebody tell me what's going on? Like Marvin Gaye in his Victoria home, the same day that his black daddy went wrong. Black on black violence is crazy. Too many young black girls with deadbeat dads not raising their babies. So the welfare office looked like a club in the 80s. 54 was a studio, Popo in the area, caused a mass hysteria, shots rang, now your moms have to go on barriers. George Floyd, man, the Popo's in the area. So, they wear guns cause they scared of us, and they try to put fear in us. Why? Cause we black in America. Yeah. Y'all, it's my time, y'all, thank you. All lives matter, y'all.
So we're going to go out the big way, okay? Woo! Woo!
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. That was a recording from Saturday evening's rally in downtown Northampton to reduce the police budget. And I've got some more from that that I'm going to play if I can find it on the computer. Here we are.
So the realtalkofprisons.org publishes writings and poems from prisoners. And this is from Joseph Aragon. He passed in 2015. This was written in 2009. Mental homicide within steel cages, bodies hibernating as the mind still rages. No one to care as you slowly die, deep up in here where convicts do sigh, with desperation of all hope gone. It's premeditation, the executioner's song, as they take your will and just kill it off. Pounding your mind till you go soft. Pills for the head, they keep them stuck, the medicated dead, with their brains on lock. Thorazine haze, reality is a blur. This torturous place, is this really the cure?
Thank you so much, Allie. So our last speaker, we have one more speaker, and then we're gonna go through some chants and such. Andrea, are you ready? Okay.
No one's free until everyone's free, right? Jasmine started this action beautifully by sharing what are the things that bring her joy. And what brings me joy is to be able to share collective rage with you here and be committed to that, what that means, right? That we're gonna keep on fighting until everyone is free. It makes me think of what Nina Simone said. I'll tell you what freedom means to me. No fear. It's an important quote for our movements for liberation and abolition. Now and always, and as always, a black woman said it. So let us always honor that and remember that black women are at the center of our movements. What does freedom mean?
No fear.
What does freedom mean?
No fear.
What does freedom mean?
No fear.
I am committed to making that happen for everyone here. Are you? Yeah. Usually I don't get personal, but also I decided to get personal. So the reason why I bring this up is because I have a beautiful silk screen in my room that someone who I love very much gave to me once, and it says all of these things. It says, I'll tell you what freedom means. No fear. Nobody's free until everyone's free. They gave it to me over a year ago when my comrade Eduardo Samaniego was deported after being tortured by ICE in solitary confinement for 3 months. Yeah, ICE. police, we need to abolish ICE. So I had just come back from South Carolina after trying to see him one last time. ICE did not let us see him in detention, but we were able to see him before he boarded his flight. I know Eduardo's doing better now. He's in Mexico City. But I knew that what I saw that day was only a shell of the person that I knew when we did organizing here. So he organized with me at the Pioneer Valley Workers Center where I work. And I will never forget how he looked and what it felt like to see what the state did to him in all those months that he was in detention. I didn't even recognize him until someone pointed out that it was him. So imagine, right, looking for someone and then not even being able to see the person because the things that your mind is looking for aren't there because that person has been tortured for 3 months and they don't look like themselves. When I got back, I was devastated and exhausted and I felt defeated. But receiving that beautiful silkscreen with its powerful message that no one is free until everyone's free was really important for me. Reading the words over and over again once I put them up in my room served as a perpetual recommitment that fighting for liberation would be my life work. That I was sitting on the shoulders of generations of movement elders who helped me get here. That my rage was righteous and just. And that I would not be the first or the last person to fight for the vision of burning down the carceral system. That said, I want to talk about abolishing the Northampton Police Department. We've said it already, but I don't give a f*** about the 4th of July, and that is not why I'm here. And yet, there is a reason to celebrate today. But it's not what Narcowitz or Jody Casper think we're celebrating about. Today, we need to win to celebrate the win of defunding the Northampton Police Department by 10%. This has happened, and we did that. Who here has part of all of the actions already, all the organizing that's happened already to get this to happen, to defund the police by 10%. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you flooded the meetings of city council. Raise your hand if you came to the noise demo where we went to visit every single city councilor. Yeah. So that 10% win, the budget cut, which is actually over $500,000, right? That budget cut only came after we put significant pressure, with the demand being to defund the police department by 50%. And that just shows, right, like how much we have to push and how much we have to ask for to only get a fragment of what that is. So I'm not saying that this is where we stop. I'm not even saying that this is okay. But this is a win because less money from the police department means less power for them and less reasons for them to continue to find ways to stay legitimate. And to be clear, that win was not out of the benevolence of the city councilors. It was because of the sustained and radical campaign that everyone here has been a part of. We pressured city council. We visited their houses. We flooded their meetings. We have done incredible political education to move people to see that another world is possible. And it's working. 10% is not enough, but we must absolutely see this as a step toward abolition. So, apparently, also, our campaign got the city council to approve the highest rate of defunding a police department in the entire country. That's huge! That's huge! Millions and millions of dollars being allocated to police departments. And yes, Northampton is small, and also that is huge. So we cannot forget that we are waging a national campaign to abolish an institution that upholds the most brutal aspects of our society. Racism, white supremacy, patriarchy, private property, and capital. So when we win, we can celebrate. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of learning to do. There's a lot of planning to do. We need to push Mayor Narcowitz to make a budget amendment and cut the police budget by 50%. Even though City Council already passed the budget, the mayor can still make amendments. We need to come together and think about how we want alternatives to policing to look like in Northampton. We need to come up with a people's plan, created by all of us, for how we want to keep the city safe for all of us. We need to keep educating our friends and neighbors and move them to join us because our movement is irresistible. And all of you are, like, this is, yeah, no. I mean, why, how can they not want to join? And a small reminder to all the people in power in this city who think that these actions are small and that this is some fringe movement and that what happens in this small city doesn't matter in the large scheme of things. You are wrong. What happens in this city is part of a movement that will not rest until all police departments are abolished. And everyone here has a part to play in that. So my comrades here are going to talk about this more. A lot of you are already involved, but Defund 01060 is going to be holding actions throughout the whole summer. So just keep showing up. This is going to be a regular thing, so I hope to see you all there.
The 4th of July is a joke!
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 The 4th of July is a joke! The 4th of July is a joke! The 4th of July is a joke!
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. The 4th of July. They're saying the 4th of July is a joke. This is Saturday's, the 4th of July's rally in downtown Northampton. It makes me think of the, you know, the famous speech by Frederick Douglass, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" One statistic that people sometimes cite is that 41 of 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence enslaved people. So this is Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. And this is El David Aguilar and Loli Molina.
Haces al delirio, lirio, que con su blancura cura a esta melodía, día, que hace que en detalle, talle, casi a mi cometa, meta. Una mariposa posa sobre tu cabello bello, porque tu tardanza danza hace la atadura dura, mientras yo a Cupido pido que entre mis compases pases a dejar de ser tan solo imaginada nada más.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Wardring. I wanted to make some announcements that came in through my email. This one says that it's a victory for the water protectors against the Dakota Access Pipeline. A federal judge ruled today, that was yesterday, that the Dakota Access Pipeline Company must stop the flow of oil and empty all oil from the pipeline within the next 30 days. The court earlier ordered the government to conduct a full-fledged environmental impact analysis examining the risk that the pipeline poses to the Standing Rock, Cheyenne River, Oglala, and Yankton Sioux tribes and the environment. Yes. Yes. Also, there was good news yesterday. I'm looking for the exact email, but about the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, about the Trump was trying to take their land and the court said no, something along those lines. I'm not the most statistically accurate person, so I'll talk about what I know about. All right, my observations on the way here, my observations around town. When I rode by Lilly Library on my way to the show, the sign in front of Lilly Library that says Contactless Summer. It's for their reading program where you can't read in person, so I guess it's like an online thing or something. Anyway, I thought it was a funny sign, Contactless Summer. Also, I noticed at Lilly Library they have a walking story where there's signs or a little like a page from a book, a different page is up every 30 feet, every 20 feet or something, so you can walk around the library and read the story as you walk around. Right now, it's kind of towards the end of mulberry season right now, but there's still some mulberries out there. I'm planning to go shake a tree after the show, I think. Put down a tarp, shake a tree. My friend Aya and I, we shook this tree on Elizabeth Street on Saturday, and we got like four gallons of berries in 20 minutes. Like, what other berry can you pick and get like 4 gallons in 20 minutes? And I took them home and I put them in the freezer. So in the wintertime, we can have smoothies with mulberries. There's also raspberries ripe now. The black raspberries. Some people call them black caps. And there was something else. Blackberries are coming. Sometimes people confuse black raspberries with blackberries, and blackberries look like mulberries too, but all black sweet things are not the same. In terms of the specifics of black raspberries and blackberries, well, the black raspberries, they got round white stems, sort of cloudy white stems, that when you scratch them with your fingernail they turn bright green, or they're like brownish purple, maybe, if they're older. And the thorns just kind of poke you, brush you a little bit, maybe prick you a little bit. But with blackberries, they got thorns that just like reach out and grab you. And they got stems that are ridged. And the berries are, instead of like a cap, instead of like thimble shaped, like raspberries, like black raspberries, the blackberries are sitting on the tip of that stem. And blackberries aren't ripe yet. They have different seasons, too. But blackberries are coming. I've been looking at some patches and hoping that I remember where they are when it comes blackberry ripening time. My other important announcements. What else have I seen around town? Well, I was almost not going to come to the studio today. I was feeling depressed because I didn't get outside and run around very much, hardly at all, except just to go pick up some trash with Alex and down by the river. But I was trying to figure out why I was feeling depressed. Firstly, because I didn't get outside. I wasn't, like, biking around. I wasn't outside. I was inside doing computer work. That would depress any living creature, right? Even though I was doing things that felt important to do. And the other reason I decided that I was depressed was because in the free pile this morning, or yesterday, I found this pair of tights. And I thought I would try them on. And I was wearing them all morning. And the person who put them there, they sometimes suffer from chronic depression. And maybe it was the tights. And I think it was something about having my legs compressed that made me depressed. So once I took off those tights and put on some loose clothing, then I felt liberated. All right, that's my psychological, that's my interpretation of psychology. Next we have this.
This is the South Side Traffic Report. Only today, instead of taking South Street, I took the rail trail. And I was going down the path with the bike and trailer. So there's four wheels, three tracks. One track for my bike wheels and two tracks for each of the trailer wheels. And in the middle of the path, I saw something round and black. I thought it was like a smushed plastic bottle cap as I went over it. And part of me was tempted to run over it, you know, like flip the cap. See if you can hit the cap. But I was like, oh no, you better don't run over it because you don't know what it is. After I passed over it, and I looked down as I was passing over it, I was like, whoa, was that? So I stopped as soon as I could, and I walked back and picked it up, and it was a tiny turtle about the size of a half dollar. And it wasn't run over, it was still alive, with its tiny little legs and red and yellow stripes. Very cute.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. This is the South Side Traffic Report.
I see y'all too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I go on too many dates. But I can't make them stay. At least that's people say.
new girlfriend. She's like, oh my god, but I'm just gonna shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby? We can shake, shake, shake. Yeah. Cause the players wanna play, 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 play.
All right, you're listening to Out There. Well, I think of my next profound or educational thing to say or a clip to play. I'll play this song dedicated to Donald Trump by the Flowbots.
Like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper, even when the pads are all crooked. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends are platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book, and guess how long it took. I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome. No metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone. On the telephone. On the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive in such a small world. I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule. Of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope. Through a telescope. Through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust. 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 In a holocaust.
With no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars, no handlebars.
No handlebars is really tricky. No hands is one thing, but no handlebars, that's something altogether.
I know no fight them would have want me gone. I know them would have want me gone. They done every day and I wish we had much time on the hands, you know. But why would a king ever fear a fall? A king would never fear them. So what them a go do when them hear this one? Bang, bang.
No take tellings, warm me no fi say this. Man, we see your farm and gone in a you lettuce. People mean your harm, you can't tell what a friend is. Grudge you fi your papers, scorn you fi your pennies. When you no see me, me gone fi get replenished. Back up in the morning, can't forget the message, no. Avocado, she feel for me senny. Ia man, banana, is sweet, push she belly. Jeez, I want make life sweet, so like a jelly. Climb feet, it hard, can't easy, so forget it. Sang the pan the radio, video pan the telly. Love in a me heart, me a spread the catchy medy.
People of the expectation.
Carry your go court. Some will burn every bridge and still I look for support. Jealousy is a cloud. Check the weather report. That's why me tighten the ship and then me arm up the fort. Know the biggest of foes, once the closest of friends. But you know how it goes. All the faithful pretend. Some will shake off your hand and break bread in your house. Soon as you turn your back, them will run up on your spouse. Some will say you're no rat, and you're jumping a fence. Like me never see Selassie in a couple of them. Some will watch what you earn and account what you spend. Always want if you borrow, never have it feeling. But you see,
people or be expectations.
Where them a go say me a fi live me life. No worries pa me yet when me a go a bed at night. Mommy, daddy, sister, yara, everybody nice. Cousin, auntie, Virginia, them a fi get a slice. Man, them new super car king and put it on a bike. Send you go a town and then they me cheap on a flight. When you reach a foreign, them a go triple the price. Benz in a community and be malaka rice. Get well with the ones and so them a fi do it twice. One day underground, the other one a jail for life. A valuable lesson, nothing happen overnight.
People got expectations.
Child. pressures of life and it tough. Now stay down, mama, time, pick it up. Now bother with the down, full style, strictly up, full vibes. Now pick it up when the bills, them, the rent and the mortgage due, yeah. When me chalice, when your best friends are gone and it's only you, yeah. Light up a split, turn up the music. Skanking swim, everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and you rap with me. You know, feel a reggae music, sweetie, yeah, yeah. Skanking swim, everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and you rap with me. You know, feel a reggae music, sweetie, yeah, yeah. Skanking swim, for every pain there's a melody, yeah. For every trouble there's a harmony. That brings everything together. So make we sing together. And who said life no order? And every man got this struggle. I beg you to help me, Lord. And let me overcome my troubles. Skanking sweet, yeah. Everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and you rock with me. You know, feel a reggae music, sweetie.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Thanks for tuning in today. Madness Radio comes up at 4 o'clock. I have one other item of very sad news that just came into my email. This is from Migrant Justice out of Vermont. One of their leaders, former leaders, Dervi Martinez, died on July 1st from COVID-19. Dervi contracted coronavirus soon after being deported from Vermont to Mexico. Dervi was a trans woman who had suffered severe violence before immigrating to the United States and was deported despite a pending asylum claim. Before being deported, Dervi was part of the farm worker community in Vermont and a member of Migrant Justice. They were a brave and outspoken advocate for immigrant and LGBTQ rights. They were arrested by ICE in January 2020. And spent 3 months detained in deplorable conditions. They were held in an all-male section of the prison, denied medication, and suffered severe weight loss. Dervi's months in detention led to a weakened immune system that likely increased their susceptibility to the virus that ultimately took their life. They were in the midst of preparing an asylum application based on the violence that they experienced as a trans person in Mexico. When the coronavirus pandemic began spreading in immigration detention centers in March, ICE chose to quickly deport Dervey, ignoring the asylum claim and failing to notify Dervey's lawyer. Anyway, the Vermont Migrant Justice site has more information about that. And they also have a GoFundMe page to help cover medical expenses and funeral costs for Dervey's family. That's it for out there. I'll be back next week. Stay tuned for Madness Radio at 4, Democracy Now! At 5. All the other great shows on Valley Free Radio. And don't forget to enjoy nature and all the green things out there.
Tell them, yeah, no.